buckle yourself in. Because this word might bring a little bit of itchiness to your rear end. Bring a little bit of uncomfortability. Today we're returning to 1 Thessalonians. Reach chapter 4. I kind of wanted to avoid going back here, but I do what the Holy Spirit says. I go where he tells me to go and I say what he wants me to say, and that's how we flow here at Mossvale. This chapter is towards the end of the letter, and Paul is talking about several different things as he's beginning to conclude his remarks. Every day of my life, I wake up and I ask the Holy Spirit to challenge me. The challenge for me is, God, I want to be the man that you want me to be. And if I get to the end of that day feeling I've achieved what the Holy Spirit wants me to achieve, I feel somewhat success. Sadly, I get to the end of most days and I don't feel that. I feel that I've not given God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit my best. I always believe I can give him more. And so there's always more that we have to offer. But the challenge is for us in the world today, in an ever, ever increasingly difficult world, is to be salt and light. What does that mean? It means that we are called to be role models. Every single one of us, not just the pastor. But I do. I know Pastor Debbie's the same. I set a very high standard for myself, which frustrates a lot of people, especially my wife. My wife thinks I should be lashing people, beating them up. She's not here, that's why I'm saying this. If you're online, you know I love you. But the challenge for me is, God has given me, I'm not boasting here, he's given me this deluge of grace for the people of God, which means here we are approachable in any subject whatsoever, and nothing, I will tell you a truth, similar to scripture, I will tell you a truth, nothing that walks into my office and any conversation I have had surprises me anymore. Because you would not believe some of the things that have been said to me over my office desk. Some things at me, hallelujah, I had grace for that also. Some things in revelation, some things in counseling, some of the things that we have to compete with. So God has given me grace for those things. But we're living in this ever-decreasing world of moral, and with moral code, and with moral value. And you all have had conversations like this, but I was having a chat or a conversation recently with someone about what we are exposed to, primarily on television, but also on the media of the world we live in today in general. And we were discussing how what is acceptable now once shocked the majority. And what shocks now will soon be accepted by the many. We are called as children of God to something called purity. Wow. How tough is that for us? Purity is actually what the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I will be honest with you, over the last 2 weeks, I have sat down, I have tried to ask the Holy Spirit to purge me of everything that would be wrong in my life. And this scripture has made me consider my own mental well-being, my emotional status, but also my physical purity. So today, like I said, buckle yourself in. I want to challenge every one of us with some questions that we may not want to hear or address, that I believe will help us think about our own lives, think about our own thoughts, our beliefs, our perspectives, but also our habits. And let me give you some of those that I have considered myself over the last couple of weeks. Hear this. Am I being desensitized to immoral topics and perspectives by the world that I live in today? Do things that once shocked me now pass me by with very little notice? I wonder. Have moral ethics slackened in my life or in the lives around me or in my culture? Relevant questions. Hear this one. Where does my mind wander when I have nothing to do? And that's rarely for us that we have nothing to do. What have I been reading lately? What have I been indulging in lately? Are there items in my home that I wouldn't want anyone else to see? I wonder. What am I streaming or watching on television? And how many hours am I doing that? What type of movies have I been watching lately? What type of podcasts am I listening to? How many adulteries did I watch or listen to last week in the name of entertainment or recreation? We could add to that, how many murders did I watch or listen to in the very same week in the name of entertainment and recreation? And how many of those things did I watch with my children sitting next to me? How many chapters of the Bible did I read or listen to last week? I find every single one of those questions to be challenging in the current climate that we live in, because they have led me to think about my own purity. They've taken me to that place of questioning my standing before God and all the types of stuff that I am perhaps daily dumping into my heart and dumping into my brain. Paul says in verse 1, which we're going to read in a moment, that we ought to walk our lives out in a manner that pleases God. These questions make me at times want to take a step back and ask, how much did I actually or really please God just, let's say, in the last week? Now, you might be a more contemporary Christian, a bit more cultivated than I am, and think, well, Pastor, really, these questions are not so relevant. This is just the world that we live in today, is it really? I believe they are relevant. I believe they're fair. I believe they are good questions. Look at the Word of God with me today in Thessalonians chapter 4, the first 8 verses. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we have told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Amen. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's a tough one. The Apostle Paul begins in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 by talking about walking in a manner that pleases God, and we should do that more and more throughout our Christian journey. Throughout these verses, he expands on this idea and shares that such commands and instructions come directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is the will of God for us by Jesus and in the Holy Spirit that we be sanctified and made to be holier and better. And I love the other word, gooder. Gooder. And that's probably not in the dictionary either, John, for your matter there. Called to be more righteous every single day of our lives. You see, church today, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It matters what's happening in the kingdom of God. It's happening with the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is impacting the world and not how the world is attempting to invade and change and make the church more intellectual so it can meet their needs according to the world's needs. We are the church. We're called to be the church. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be pure. We're called to have clean hands and a pure heart before God, because the only way we can make a difference in this world, being that chosen generation, is to live out Christ to this world we live in today. Jesus wants you and I today, dearly beloved, to step forward in holiness and purity and to not disregard the kind of life that Jesus has called us to. To not take advantage of our hurt or others' wrongs. No, sir. Our faith and our practice of abiding in Jesus changes us daily so we become more and more like Him. Specifically, Paul notes that sexual immorality and giving into passion and lust outside of God's boundaries attacks directly our holiness and purity and His actual best for us. The word that Paul uses in this passage in verse 3 is a word that means any sexual encounters outside of God's boundaries. Here we read sexual immorality. In some translations, you will find sexual sin or the biblical word fornication. The Greek word is the word pornea, which as you have guessed, is the root in English terms pornography or pornographic, which is derived from the word perneo. That word perneo means to sell off, effectively meaning a selling off. It means a surrendering of sexual purity, promiscuity of any and every type. It's a glorious Sunday morning sermon. And I'm glad we have the boldness to do it here. The New Testament mentions this word often. Listen, 25 times, in fact, including in 3 different Gospels. That's 7 times in the book of Revelation, which I believe tells us a lot about these last days that we are living in. Very clearly. Notice throughout this passage, though, that we cannot disregard what God has for you and I. We can disregard, listen, we can disregard Jesus' instructions. Our free will be exercised if we choose to do that. But that exercise right there is labeled as rejection, not of man's rules or outdated societal rules, but of God Himself. And the world is disregarding God Himself, and some in the church are choosing to do the same things. Some denominations are choosing to do the very same things, and God help them in the day of judgment. And God help those leaders who shy away from their God-given responsibilities of being honest and being truthful and be direct from the Word of God. See, today, although we don't want to sit and hear this after having our tea and toast, we really don't want to do that. This is the most important topic that we at times are so embarrassed to talk about. Why? Because this subject matter touches many areas of life, even down to our very identity. Let me be positive here. God created sex. Hallelujah. He created sex to be physical, to be emotional, to be mental, to be spiritual, to be fun. He did all of those things. Verse 4 says, learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 5, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or of a sister. What am I saying? I'm saying commit to this. Commit to that. Live in that. Resist temptation to live outside of this. Reject the world's supposed truth in this area, which only lead to emotional baggage, hearts, sickness, depression, and eventually broken relationships. Church, may you and I not disregard the word of God and God's desires, but rather trust in Him that His design and His will and His purposes are absolutely best for you and I today. Apostle Paul mentions over and over that he wants the church here in Thessalonica to walk worthy of God. He wants them not only to have that faith in Jesus, but for that faith to work itself out in the heart and then work itself out into actions. Amen. Notice what he then writes to the Thessalonian church. Read verses 1 and 4, chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. It's important. Now about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Amen. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so much more and more and more. Amen. You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we must, and it's imperative, we are to commit ourselves to loving one another. Hallelujah. That means our default programming should be this little thing called love. Love. That means all our forgiveness is fueled by love. Our treatment of people different than us should be seasoned with His love. We listen to this. I want to be famous, Pastor Debbie. I want to be famous because people will know me how I loved other people. That's the call to fame that I have. Nothing else really matters when it comes to the end. But if they can say the pastors at Moss Vale loved their people unconditionally, the pastors loved their people and had grace for every situation, they will breathe their last breath as happy individuals. That we will be known as believers by our love with the love of God. Listen, hear this today. I want to be clear here. I don't love other people because they are worth it. I love other people because God is worth it. That's how it has always played out in my life, because I don't like some of you. You'll all be sitting wondering, is it me? That's not a truth, by the way. We love people because we were first loved by Him. And He is worth all the love. You see, Jesus is the motivator of my love. Every day, every hour. Listen to Jesus' words in John 13, 34, 35. A new command I give you. Simple. Love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. It's only then, guys. Then, if you love each other, he goes on to say, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Praise God. This is not a suggestion, nor a guideline, nor a request. This is a command, and Paul takes it further. He almost makes it competitive. You see, in a world where there are now TV shows solely made to burn celebrities, that means a show where celebrities are heaped with the most vile insults you could hear, and we call it entertainment. Hallelujah. Can't wait to watch it. I could list off a whole bunch of TV programs. I'd love to, but I won't, because some of you will watch them. And I would just put the three-letter word on them, sin, and sign off on it. Listen to Paul. In Romans 12, verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. And I love this line. Outdo one another in showing honor. Hallelujah. Paul speaks again in Galatians 5, 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Amen. But do not use that freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. What's that flesh? Again, it refers to that sinful state of human beings. It's that immorality that we should avoid and reject as the children of God. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply where? From the heart. And you might be thinking right now, okay, what does this have to do with me? Or what does this have to do with you? Listen to this, dear ones. We must seek God. We must let him motivate our love for others. We prove our faith in Jesus Christ by our love one for another. We are free, are we not, to honor our father and mother, even when our fathers and mothers may not deserve it. We can outdo showing honor to our family members consistently. Dear ones, we need to attempt or try to love God and love others with unconditional love, not just when we feel like it, but every day. It's imperative. We need to make our love as the Church of Jesus Christ immeasurable, incomparable, divinely driven, and as sacrificial as possible, especially when it comes to the people that we do not like and those who don't believe the same as we believe. None of this for you and I today is an option. None. Expressing hatred, being judgmental towards people not like us, sharp, biting words, unforgiveness and bitterness towards each other has absolutely no place in the heart of a believer in Jesus Christ. And if it does, you need to get on the altar this morning and repent of what you've thought and how you felt. And let God purge you and cleanse you and set you free. And he will do that. Jesus' command is that we love one another. That call is for each and every one of us every day and in so many different ways. We here at Mossvale, we are to be a community of grace. We are to show gentleness. We are to bring patience as we seek the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our own life and the lives of others. Let me read these. I'll just do three more for you today. Verses 10 through 12. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so much more and more. To make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business. Work with your hands, just as we are told. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. Work in here means to labor or engage in an activity that involves effort. Work is the opposite of inactivity or idleness. This call to work is a call to be at our continual duty. Listen to the words here of John MacArthur. John MacArthur says this: when believers display diligent work attitudes and habits and live in a loving and tranquil manner that respects others' privacy and does not intrude or gossip, it constitutes a powerful testimony to unbelievers and it makes the gospel credible. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, believers who sacrificially love other people exhibit tranquil lives. Wow. Conscientiously focus on keeping their own lives in order and faithfully carry out their daily responsibilities in the workplace, all the while proclaiming the gospel in light of the return of Jesus Christ, are the most effective witnesses to their unsaved neighbors and loved ones. Lovely words. I'm going to leave the final verses of chapter 4. If you look at them later on, the final 5 verses are powerful words of comfort, and that's for another time. I couldn't do them justice in a few minutes today. So here's the thing today. I want to encourage every one of us to reread 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I wanted to allow all that we have talked about today to fuel your prayers this week and your devotions and your meditation as you ponder over these verses. Would you stand with me? Let's just open our heart to God as we close this down here. Find yourself in a posture to receive the goodness of God today, because when it comes to our faith and the commands and the way of life in Scripture, and this may be a word for some of us today, indecisiveness is not the place that you want to be found. I'll say that again. In the place of indecisiveness is not the place you want to be found. You must know you stand in a sure and firm foundation. That's Christ the Lord. We're saying today to everyone, choose Jesus. That is what Paul is telling the Thessalonians and you and I today. Choose Jesus. Choose the Son of God who lived a sinless, perfect life. Choose He who offered His sinless life on the cross to pay for our sins. Choose paths inside God's boundaries that lead to purity. Amen. Choose to love one another so as you can reflect Jesus Christ. Choose hard work leading to character that honors Jesus Christ. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Choose His plan for your life. Find yourself retreating from what this world offers you. And I will tell you a truth. The greatest thing this world is offering us right now is through the media, through social imagery that we are bombarded with. And if we are not decisive in what kind of spiritual moral code we are going to live by, that is the word of God, by the way, we're going to find ourselves every single day coming up short. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen our hearts this morning. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us those clean hands and that pure heart before God. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to challenge us. You see, you might think all of this has been a bit harsh and a bit in your face, but I will say this: there is no condemnation for those people who are actually in Christ Jesus. But we at times come up short. At times we miss the mark. And there's grace for that. And there's forgiveness for that. And you might feel really challenged. I've told you, I have been so challenged by this chapter over these last 2 weeks that I found myself on my knees before God. I've asked the Holy Spirit to make me more conclusive, more decisive. Even pastors need to keep on putting boundaries in place. Boundaries with people, boundaries with what we see, boundaries with what we do. We have to set that round about ourselves. Why? Because we're special? No, because we want to be God's best for our people. Not spiritually superior, that's not what I'm saying if you pick that up. Not elevated, humble in what we do. So as the worship team come back, just for these next few moments, if this word has spoken to you, hallelujah, respond in the way that God wants you to respond. We're not in a place where we can do altar calls. But as we sing this next song, maybe you feel, hey, well, if pastor's taking the knee, I can take the knee. Or you can sit, or you can open the palms of your hand, and you can quietly, don't shout out, you can quietly spend these moments with God. Say, God, this was so for me today. Some of the things that have been touched on today was so for me. Well, if they were, here's the wonderful, wonderful news of the gospel. You are so, so loved by God. And nothing can ever change that relationship lest you turn your face from Him and walk away. But if you feel you're in a place where, Pastor, I so want to step up a bit. I want to challenge myself more to be that individual that you want me to be. I don't want to settle for that middle road, that mediocrity, that complacency, that uncertainty. I want to go full in to what you have for me. Well, it does come at a cost. But the prize at the end and the rewards at the end are magnificent. So let's worship God. You do your thing in the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, He will do His thing in your life today. So be blessed. Be at peace. Be glad that you know Him. In Jesus' name, Peter.